Happy Coptic New Year, happy Nehruz. It's a blessed season in the church in which we're called for revival and spiritual renewal and new beginnings and focus. And it starts us by fixing our lives on all the Gospels and all the readings of Nehruz were on the word new. Talking about becoming a new creation, sing to the Lord a new song, a new year. All these things, all the readings talked about becoming new. And the church teaches us how to always refresh our spiritual lives and to refresh our walks with Christ. And the next day we celebrate, so on Tuesday we celebrated the feast of Nehruz. Today we celebrate the feast of St. John the Baptist and his martyrdom. St. John the Baptist is like the absolute greatest saint. And today I want us to just kind of fix upon some of his virtues in Scripture and try to pull out as much as we can from his life, because when Christ talks about him, Christ says he's the greatest born among women. I mean, that's coming from God himself. So I think there's much for us to learn about him and to see and to learn from his virtues. Open first to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Starting from verse 6, the church teaches us in the first hour, it provides for us in the first hour this gospel in order for us to remember two things. When it talks about in the beginning, so it's talking about the beginning of our day, was the Word. The beginning of the day was Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. From the very beginning, St. John the Baptist, like, he was just sent from God. He came to the earth sent from God. When we read this in the gospel of the first hour, we have to remind ourselves, is St. John the Baptist the only person that was sent from God? Who else is sent from God? All of us. All of us are sent from God. And we have to look at St. John the Baptist as the example for all of us, because he was sent from God, and he was sent from God for a purpose. And it's that same purpose that all of us have. I feel like he's the icon of the Christian, of the mission of the Christian. He said, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So it talks about how he came to bear witness of the true light of God. And St. John the Baptist wasn't just somebody. Nowadays, we feel like witnessing has to be done in words, right? It's preaching and it's all these things. But St. John the Baptist, he wasn't a man of many words. He was actually a man of very few words, but they were amazing. So as we keep on going in John chapter 1, you're going to see something unique about St. John the Baptist. In verse 19... John 1, 19. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Something we have to know about St. John the Baptist is that there was a gap of 400 years between the last prophet of Israel and his presence. So you can imagine what the spiritual state of Israel was like with the absence of any prophet. The church over time had become, not the church, I'm sorry, the temple had corruption, and the temple just became chaos. So St. John the Baptist came 400 years later with no witness, and he comes, and they came, they said, like, are you the Christ? It was almost as if they were willing to say, we'll accept you if you're Christ. Which is why, how do we know that? By his response. It says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed. Verse 20. It's clear that he's saying, he confessed, he said, you have it all wrong. It says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? Which is like the next best for them. He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Verse 22, and then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? I wonder if you were St. John the Baptist. You are St. John the Baptist. And you've come and you've turned the hearts of all of Israel back to God. And they say, just tell me, what are you? Are you like some type of saint? He says, this is St. John the Baptist, who Christ says is the greatest born among women. Verse 23, he said, I am the voice. I'm just a voice. I'm nothing. I am just a voice. He says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You see, he was in line with his calling. He knew exactly what his calling was, and he was sticking to that calling. I wonder how many of us understand what our individual calling is. Maybe you're not St. John the Baptist himself, but the world is going to ask you today, who are you? Who are you? Why is it that you live the life you do? Why is it that you are sharing or bearing witness of that light? And what would be our response? I wonder if I was St. John the Baptist, what I would respond. I wonder how tempting it might have been to say, I am the Christ. Everybody's willing to accept me. I'm the hero that saved Israel. How do we know that he was such a hero? If you turn your gospel, just really quick, to Mark chapter 2. Turn the Bible to Mark chapter 2. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 1, forgive me. Mark chapter 1. Verse 4. It says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 5. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Somebody give me one word that is repeated twice that is a key word of that verse. Oh, there is no exaggeration in the Bible. There's no, like, it's not just like a figure of speech. All meant all. What would it take? What would it take for a man to be living in a wicked generation that has abandoned faithful and holy worship, that it says all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him? Where was St. John the Baptist at the time? He was in the wilderness. Imagine, what do? We go out to people and we beg them to follow Christ. Not St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist lived his holy life. Not some people, not a lot of people, everybody. Everybody said, we have to go see this person living out in the wilderness. Okay? And imagine, not just go see him. All of us, we've gone out to go see holy men speak, right? We've heard, we've brought guest speakers, we've brought church leaders, we've brought all types of people to come speak. And people come out and they see. But with St. John the Baptist, they were all baptized by him. They were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, a baptism of repentance, confessing their sins. He, by his presence, could lead all of Israel, or all of Judea and those from Jerusalem, to what? To repentance. Not just to feel bad about what they were doing. Not just to, because the rich young ruler, when he came to Christ, it says when Christ said, give up all that you have, says he went away sad. So he was convicted. He was sad that that's what was asked of him, but he didn't change. He didn't repent. But with St. John the Baptist, I'm not saying that St. John the Baptist is greater than Jesus, but you can see his impact in that people not only heard him, not only saw him, but they came, they were baptized, which is like complete immersion. It was a complete turnaround. It was a complete transformation of confessing their sins, of repentance, and then confessing their sins. So St. John the Baptist was such a hero. And what is the secret to his power? St. John the Baptist, what do you mean that everybody? I haven't met one person, maybe I've met one person, that could win the hearts of almost all of the people that he is leading. You know, we were blessed to have a blessed patriarch, and his popularity level was probably high 90s, right? I think Pope Shenouda was mostly by like probably 98% approval level by the church, by his life, by his teaching, by his words. But it's not every day we find people like that. And we need to ask ourselves, where does the power of influence come? Verse 6. St. Mark makes it very clear to us. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. There's the secret. He was a crazy man, right? If you were to draw a picture of this person, I would imagine he's eating wild locusts and honey. Hair out to here, beard out to here, like when you sometimes, like you would think he's like a Tarzan type of figure. Like he's just living in the wilderness, doesn't care about how he looks, doesn't care what he eats. Living in the wild, that's the secret, is that he was different than the world. Is that St. John the Baptist, this verse is telling us about his holiness. It's telling us about how he has made himself different than his whole culture, than everybody around him, than everybody that he knew. Which is why everybody was drawn to him, because, not of his words, because they had seen, the people of Israel had seen many corrupt people in the temple who knew the law. The Pharisees, they knew the law and they were there. But St. John the Baptist didn't know the law, he lived the law. His message, at all times, he had one message, pointing all eyes to Christ. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So here, St. John the Baptist is, he's baptizing people, he's popular, he's like won the approval of all the people. And what does he do? Everybody look! Behold the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the true one that is sent for the salvation, to carry away the sins of the whole world. You see, he pointed to Christ. How many of us make an effort? I encourage all of us to make an effort that the mission of our life is that we would be Christ pointers. That we would say, "Behold the Lamb of God." That everything in my life would direct everyone's attention to, not myself, but who? The Lamb of God. He pointed them to the one that was going to save them, because he was going to, the Lamb that carried the sins of the world for them, because you know at the time they would offer sacrifices. And the people who would confess would offer a lamb, and the priest would transfer the sin of a confessor in the temple, in the Jewish temple, from a confessor to a lamb, a physical lamb. Now in the New Testament, what happens? The confessor comes, and the priest transfers that same sin to a different lamb, which is the Lamb of God in the sacrament of confession. And then he goes and he says, look at verse 15. "He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse 30. Again, "This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" See any repetition here? He kept on saying that Christ, like, "I'm not the Christ. He is preferred before me. He is the end all, be all. He is everything." We need, as the people of God, really need to make not just Christ before us, like meaning he's God and I'm not, but the mission of my life. The mission of my life is to exalt him before me, and before my own desires. He is the God of all gods. He is in charge. He is the one that governs my life. And that was the mission of St. John the Baptist. And because of that, look at verse 36, 35. "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples." John 1, verse 35. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Again, it's pointing to Christ. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." Verse 39. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Verse 40. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You see, when the Bible says followed, it doesn't just mean walked after him. Followed meant followed. How is it that St. John the Baptist could have so much influence over his disciples? It doesn't say he gave them a long speech. It says, "Behold the Lamb of God." What did the two disciples do? They heard him speak and they followed Jesus. The power of influence in the life of St. John the Baptist. The power of influence. I think many of us, we try, whether it be by position, whether it be by whatever it may be, we try to direct people. And sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not successful. But St. John the Baptist, it says that those that were his disciples, amazing, they heard him speak and they followed Jesus. For parents, for spouses, for friends, for co-workers, for anybody that God has entrusted to you. It should be our aspiration that when people hear me speak, what? They follow Jesus. But it's not just by words, but it was the power of his influence in their lives. They saw that St. John the Baptist was amazing. And anything that St. John the Baptist was going to point them to is what they were going to follow, and they were going to follow it hands down, blindly. What do I mean blindly? Remember in the Old Testament when Moses was going up the mountain and they saw that Moses was the man of God who to the people was like the embodiment of God, because Moses, everywhere he went is where God's blessing came. Part the Red Sea, brought manna, water out of the rock, killed Pharaoh and his people, destroyed the magicians, did all these things. So Moses, to the people, represented the power of God. To the point where Moses came and said, "God said." They said, "We don't want to know. Whatever you tell us, we believe God told you." Right? They said, "We don't even need God to speak to us. We don't need God to speak to us. If you speak, we will believe that God is speaking through you." Power of influence. Because he was he represented the presence of God. Where Moses was, the people had this moral restraint. They felt like God was in their midst. Same thing with St. John the Baptist. When St. John spoke, he said, it says the people followed Jesus. Sometimes I feel like here in church, when we give sermons, we try to jump through hoops to get people just to listen to the word. Imagine if the power of influence in the servant or in the man of God or in the messenger of God, when those that see the leader is set apart for God's kingdom and is not from this world, one word, "Behold the Lamb of God," that's it. From then on, they follow Jesus. Had Jesus done any miracles yet at this point? No miracles. Had he preached any sermons? Christ at this point had done nothing. He had done nothing before the eyes of people. But yet, St. John the Baptist, because of his life, was able to lead people to Christ. Was able to influence others to follow Christ, even though Christ hadn't done anything yet. Sometimes people say, "How do I lead non-believers to Christ? How do I lead non-believers to Christ?" There's no formula. There's no magic words that I could tell you to give to non-believers and that's it, they're going to believe. It's the power of influence. It's the light in us. I wish we had that same effect on the people that God has entrusted to us. Now turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. So we talked about his power of influence, his life of holiness and his ascetic life, that he was different than the world. Also, his grace and truth teaching. Grace and truth teaching. St. John the Baptist wasn't just giving truth, and if you don't like it, like, go away. Burn in hell. That wasn't his message. His message was a message of repentance. So he's showing, if you repent, you will be forgiven. Grace and truth. For parents, we need grace and truth work among our children. Spouses, grace and truth. Friendships, grace and truth. What does that mean? Always to show grace, but grace should never be without truth. What does that mean? We have to lay down the truth for those that we love. It is our responsibility to lay down the truth. But the truth without grace will turn a child to become what? Rebellious. Truth without grace will turn a child to become rebellious. Same thing with grace. Grace, meaning like, we have to just show grace to those that we love, and it's okay. And I have a lot of parents struggling with their kids these days. And kids are doing all kinds of things, like, I know of received a call recently that this young person was caught by the police like 10 times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I'm like, lady, your prayers are working for your child. Because nobody gets caught 10 times in like this short amount of time. But every time he was brought back, it was just like, okay, let him in. You know, the kid is in problems with drugs. Let him in. Let him in. It's got to come to a point where we have grace. But out of my love, I don't want to enable you. Like, because when you show too much grace without truth, I mean, if you show grace without truth, you're enabling a child or you're enabling a person to continue in the wrong. Meaning, this kid has no reason to stop smoking, to stop hanging out with the people. Why? Because he has a roof over his head, food on the table. Mom and dad were always going to accept me. It doesn't mean that mom and dad shouldn't accept, but it means mom and dad should say, because we love you, we have to lay down the truth. There are rules under this house. There are guidelines. Not to enable one to continue in mistakes. And that was St. John the Baptist. He had no problem preaching a life of repentance and bear fruits worthy of repentance. And you will be accepted. But when it came to the Pharisees and the people who were insisting on along, he laid the truth down. Brood of vipers. And he started to, what? Give it to them. You find that in Matthew chapter 3. It was very tough with them. So number one, we talked about life of holiness. Number two, he was in line with his calling. God called him not to be the Messiah. And sometimes I think, in whatever relationship capacity that you have, sometimes we think that I'm supposed to be the Messiah. Like, I'm going to save my friend. I'm going to save my spouse. I'm going to save my children. You can't. Moses tried it himself. Moses, when he was in the palace, saw that the Egyptians were treating the Israelites poorly. He tried to save the Israelites with his own hand. What did he do? He went and struck the Egyptian. Next day, saw two Jews fighting. When he went to go like talk to them, they said, what, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Moses couldn't save them by his own hands. It's important that we understand that we have to be in line with God's calling for us. I'm not the Messiah. I'm a voice. I'm a servant. I'm a tool to bring all eyes to God's glory. He was an icon of humility. We saw that in the way that he lived, in pointing all eyes to Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God, it's not me. It says, he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Even though people were willing. Last part, Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.'" Wow. Imagine St. John the Baptist told King Herod. King Herod. He laid down what? He laid down the law for him and he says, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." What does that mean? He was willing to pay a price. St. John the Baptist was willing to pay a price on his mission. Do you think if I go and I rebuke some king and I tell him, "What you are doing is unlawful," some dictator king, do you think I know what's going to happen to me or not? You think St. John the Baptist went in there like, "Oh my gosh, I didn't realize I was going to get thrown into prison. And I didn't realize that Herod was going to be willing to cut my head off because of this." He knew what he was getting into. He was willing to pay a price. St. John the Baptist is the perfect icon of the Christian. Willing to pay the price for your mission, which the mission is to bring glory to God. He proclaimed the truth. Is that how we are? Are we people that live in the gray area? See, now, more than ever, tolerance has become, it's a part of our culture, and it's a part of our society. It's good, and it's bad. Tolerance is a wonderful thing. Tolerance also something, it's a double-edged sword. It could work against us. Why? Because when you tolerate too much, all of a sudden, wickedness creeps into our hearts, into our lives, into our thinking, into the way that we conduct ourselves. St. John the Baptist had the perfect balance of laying down the law to King Herod because he felt, "I have a mission before all men. I have a mission before all men to lay down the truth." He says, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Verse 5, "Although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet." St. John the Baptist is truly one of the greatest saints. And that he could live such a life. If you read the same passage in Mark chapter 6, it says something different about how Herod thought of him. Whenever you read a passage in the Bible, try to read all the passages that match the same passage, that are the same story. So in Mark chapter 6, verse 20. "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him." There was a time where Herod, there was like a certain point where Herod was actually trying to protect St. John the Baptist from Herodias. But it came to a point when Herodias' daughter on the birthday asked for St. John the Baptist's head. He had made an oath, and that was it. But Herod could see in St. John the Baptist that he was a holy and just man. And he even protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. Wow. Imagine St. John the Baptist spoke to Herod, and Herod not just said, like, "What is he doing here?" It says he heard him gladly. We need more people like St. John the Baptist. Last thing is that he was set apart for his generation. So many people say, "God, what is your will for my life?" And that's good. And what is like my, you know, like, what do you want for my life? Or I want to do, I'm asking you to bless my request because I want to do this for you. How many people say, "God, what do you want for this generation? And I want to be a part of that." This generation is suffering a lot of things. A lot of people say, "What does God want? Or what does God want for my life?" Okay. "I'm going to study, I'm going to do this." It could be a very nice thing. But St. John the Baptist was a higher level. Not, "God, what do you want for my life? What is on your heart? And how can I be a part of what's on your heart for this generation?" And that's why St. John the Baptist is different. In that he was the only person in his generation. He was the only person that was set apart for God's kingdom, proclaiming the truth. I wish that would be the prayer of the new generation. Not just, what do you want for my life? Forget about my life, God. What do you want? What are you going to do for this generation? And how can I be a part of that? There's so many strong leaders that are the men of their generation. You know, when I think of certain people who are, certain authors who are trying to fight lust among American young people. And he's written her 3 or 4 books trying to war against lust and impure relationships in this generation. He's doing what he can. He's made it his personal mission. Whenever I think of anybody that's taken it upon themselves to fight the battles of lust and impure relationships and impurity in this generation in America, there's a certain author that comes to my mind who's making it his calling. And he set himself apart for this. And I look to this person and I say, wow, it's not about him. He's different. Because he's talking about things that isn't tolerable in America. One of the books is called When I Kiss Dating Goodbye. When I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Like, in America, who talks about When I Kiss Dating Goodbye in America? You know, he wrote another book called Not a Hint. He wrote, which is talking about not a hint of sexual impurity. He talks about sex is not the problem, but lust is. He has taken it upon himself to war against the impure, war against our children and against this generation. And he's fighting, he's doing what he can. And he's offered his life to solve this problem. May God give him strength and may God give him grace. When can we say, Lord, I want to be a part of your solution, of your healing for this generation? That was St. John the Baptist. I pray that we would always keep him as a holy icon before us, to live like him and to honor the same God that could take St. John the Baptist and make you just like him. You see, St. John the Baptist was the new Elijah. Elijah was the greatest prophet. And St. John the Baptist became the new Elijah. We're looking for new John the Baptists to be able to say, I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. That's my mission. I'm set apart for God's kingdom and for what is on his heart. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Stand up and pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, holy examples with natures just like ours, who were born of women and who lived in wicked and perverse generations, Lord. But Lord, you had a calling for him, Lord, and I believe you have a calling for each and every one of us. Grant that every morning, Lord, we can stand before you and say there was a man sent from God, that we could place our names, Lord, in that verse, that we would wake up every morning, know that we are sent from you, Lord, as your messenger. I pray, Lord, that we would become the new St. John the Baptists, that we would become the new ones, Lord, preparing the way of the Lord, making, Lord, your path straight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would aspire to be holy and set apart like him, different in the world, dressed differently, talking differently, living completely different than everyone around him. Grant, O Lord, that we would have that same power of influence, Lord, that as we draw closer to you, Lord, your light in us would draw people to yourself, not to us. Grant that our lives would be pointing all eyes to you, that everybody that comes to see us, Lord, we can turn their eyes and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for this new year, to relive a new year with you, Lord, and to walk every step, Lord, that you took, Lord, and to imitate you. We pray this in your holy and precious name through the intercessions of St. Mary and St. John the Baptist and the prayers of St. Mark, all the martyrs and saints who have pleased since the beginning. Make us, O Lord, worthy to pray, thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Now the love of God, the Father, grace of His only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace. Peace of the Lord be with you all.